President Obama is going to Asia next week. He's expected to talk up a proposed deal to increase U.S. trade with that region. And if he succeeds, it could open up huge new markets for U.S. farmers and manufacturers. It could strengthen U.S. influence in Asia and set a path to greater prosperity. At least, that's what the White House says. But his critics say the president has got it all wrong. They believe the trade deal, known as the Trans-Pacific Partnership, would hurt U.S. jobs, degrade the environment, and even make the internet less open. One thing everyone does agree on, the TPP would be a big deal. Here to explain is Marilyn Giwax. She's a senior business news editor at NPR in Washington. Good to talk to you again, Marilyn.
Hi, nice to join you.
Great to have you. So first of all, tell us a little bit more about what the TPP is. What specifically does the president want?
Well, this is a trade deal that's a lot like NAFTA. That deal was put together 20 years ago, and it involved the United States, Canada, Mexico. And now you take those three countries and you'd expand this into a really gigantic free trade zone that would also include countries on the other side of the Pacific Ocean. So you're talking about Australia, Japan, big countries. So if you put it all together, you're talking about 12 countries that would unite their economies in a way that's never been done before. It'd be the ultimate goal is to create a tariff-free zone so that goods can go back and forth easily. And, you know, the president says that this is a good way to grow jobs, that American businesses need to export into these dynamic economies in Asia, and that we need to be there. We have to be part of that game.
So it potentially could be a massive free trade zone. Give us some examples of what could change if the TPP is indeed completed and ratified.
Yeah, the big thing on our side of this is autos. That's getting a lot of attention, and that's because right now the United States imposes a tariff. That's basically another word for a tax of 2.5% on Japanese cars that come into the United States. Well, you know, if you work for GM, you sort of like to see the U.S. government keep its thumb on the scale for your products. They like the idea of putting a tariff on Japanese cars. But under a trade deal, that would have to eventually go away. It needs to be phased out under the terms of this agreement. And on the other hand, a big deal in Japan is rice. That's very much a part of their identity. They care a lot about rice. So the tariffs over there are kind of just almost crazy. They're almost 800% on rice being imported there. So if you've got rid of those kinds of tariffs, farmers in the United States, people who grow rice, they could sell more rice into Japan. That's a big market that would boost their profits. But for an automaker, maybe if you're making a Ford or a GM product, you'd face a little bit tougher competition because you'd no longer would have that slight advantage of having tariffs imposed on Japanese cars.
Interesting. So free trade advocates and economists love the idea of reducing trade barriers between nations. But you mentioned NAFTA and you mentioned jobs. And the thing that pops into my mind, Marilyn, takes us back to 1992 and Ross Perot, who said he was hearing a giant sucking sound going to jobs that would go to Mexico if NAFTA was indeed adopted. So is there similar opposition to the TPP now?
There's exactly the same kind of opposition. So, you know, usually a Democratic president would turn to Democrats to help advance whatever his agenda is. But this time, the president's got a tough time. The Democrats are not behind him in general on this. Very little support, at least being said out loud. There are a few, but mostly you're hearing U.S. Lawmakers want to defend American jobs, and they worry about this idea. Vietnam, for example, is one of the 12 countries that would be involved in the TPP. They point out that in Vietnam, the minimum wage is $2.75 a day. Huh. So if you're one of the few remaining textile workers in the United States and you're making, you know, $10 or $12 an hour, can you really compete with a textile factory in a country where people are making $2.75 a day? So, you know, there are a lot of concerns that some of these remaining factory jobs in the United States could really be harmed by this. And there are also things that people worry about. They're concerned about environmental standards being lowered, concerns about food safety, food that might come into our country that doesn't meet the same standards that we might expect, concerns about the internet, that if we were to do this trade deal, that we'd have to have more controls on the internet, that it wouldn't be as open as it is because some Asian countries have more censorship. There are a lot of complicated issues involving the cyber sphere. So there's lots of democratic opposition to this.
Interesting. And these are potent pieces of opposition, given the fact that the world is already so much more globalized than it was in 1992. But on the other hand, Marilyn, who's in favor of this new trade agreement?
Well, for the most part, businesses are strongly in favor of it. Certainly the Chamber of Commerce is. But there are also people who worry about national security, sort of the geopolitics of this. That is, China is a huge, rising power. And it's been a little, some people would consider it sort of expansionist, that there are concerns about China. And many people feel we're not involved enough in Asia, and that if we were to put our strengths together with Japan and Australia and really pull together this Pacific Rim idea, it'd be a huge counterweight to China. And right now, China has a little bit of a bad reputation. You know, things like this Malaysian plane that went down. The Australians seemed like really stand-up guys that were trying to find the plane, and China seemed a little weak on that. So there are these kind of soft power issues where the United States, Australia, and Japan seem more attractive to some of the other countries in Asia. So there are supporters of this trade deal that say you need to pull that all together, make this a strong, attractive economy, and people will want to join with you, not with China.
Well, we'll keep our eyes on the Trans-Pacific Partnership and whether or not it actually goes anywhere. Marilyn Giewak, Senior Business News Editor at NPR in Washington, thanks so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
You're listening to Here and Now.